see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Thank you for staying. It's a long haul. Last thing you want to do is hear more of my voice, so please. Sure. If you see me around and you have any questions, grab me.
I love
it. But any questions or thoughts? I know it's been all morning.
It was just great. I didn't need a washroom break.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Why did you plan it that way?
Which way? This way?
Yes.
It was a festival. They decide what sort of chunks. And believe it or not, on Saturday, you know, they're showing it in 7.5 hour chunks or something. So some festivals are going to show it just in a gallery space, so you can wander in and out, which is a nice idea. But it's very flattering for us if the festival decides to show it at all. But I hope you haven't been holding it.
No, I went.
Okay. This might be a little, I know it's a world premiere, so it might be a little early to ask this question, but yeah, since I might not be able to see all 15 hours of this week,
I'm shocked.
I know, but I definitely want to. What kind of availability or accessibility will this film have to the public down the road?
Did you hear that at the back?
Yes.
It's a different format, so it'll play in all sorts of ways. And British TV is playing on Saturday nights, peak time, which is great for over 15 weeks. We're hoping that we can sell it to TV stations. Lots of cinematheques and film festivals are asked to show it in different forms. There's a very nice format which we really like, where you see the whole movie in 1 hour. So we choose bits of it in real time, and the rest of it we speed up and fit times 5,000%, 50 times. And Clint Mansell wrote a lovely piece of music, so you can see the whole thing in an hour. And a lot of it was really blue. It would be quite nice to dance to it or something like that. I also like the idea, you've seen, thank you for staying, you've seen this whole idea of the wind and the trees, which recurs throughout the film. So what I love the idea, I don't know whether we can do it, of playing the sound only in trees in various places. Because you notice when something's on screen, I'm describing it quite carefully. So maybe it would work without seeing the imagery as well. And then DVD, box set, we hope, next person. Educational use, we hope TVs are in schools, universities, we hope they'll all make some use of it.
Perfect.
Yeah. This is one thing that matters a lot to us. You know, you've seen already that I don't use the word auteur or mise en scène, any of these fancy film terms. You know, it's very, very important to make a work like this accessible to everybody, whether they're people who like middle age or even older, who have been watching movies all their lives and want to see a bit of a pattern, or young people, teenagers in particular. I'd love them to see that. You know, so it's very important not to be off-putting, not to have barbed wire around your work. You know, and I feel that's right.
Very good point. We've been talking about that. We're going to have a website which is going to be very cool. It's
there's some kind of ideological storm, cinema's no longer available, but you go in there, and somehow in there there'll be a list of everything. I don't want people to be panicking and thinking, oh, I love the look of that Lillian Gish picture, what is it? Do I need to take notes? You know,
yeah.
I want people just to enjoy it. So there will be on the website eventually, hopefully in a month or so, there'll be all films listed, and so people can go and find the name of a particular film that they liked. Here and then here.
One comment and then one brief question.
Sure.
It's the best history of cinema, you know, course I've ever seen. So speaking of education, you just closed down all the history of, you know, all the courses in all the universities and just show them.
We don't want to give people
yeah.
out of work, obviously.
Well, because I think the brilliance of this is it's organized around ideas.
Yes.
As opposed to chronology.
Yes.
Mostly, you know.
And things like the Chaplin thing, you know, I thought, how the hell am I going to do Chaplin? Everybody's done Chaplin. I'm not trying to be revisionist. I'm not trying to say Chaplin's rubbish. So that's an idea, trying to say, well, this idea of play, almost doodling in Chaplin. Yeah, sorry,
so, yeah, but everything was organized around ideas
yes,
like that. So I'm wondering what your background is. You obviously know a lot more about things than cinema, philosophy, history of art, literature.
My undergraduate degree was history of film, art, and philosophy, exactly the three things you mentioned. And now I teach at the university.
Well, where did you study?
In Scotland, I live in Scotland. So I studied at the University of Stirling, which was the only place in the UK at that time that where you could do single honours in film. Then I mixed it up with other stuff. And
yeah.
Now I teach.
Where are you teaching now?
Well, I've got a nice fancy honorary position at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland and also the University of Stirling. I've also I've done, I think, four books on film history now, which, in fact, this is based on a book, and I think I might be doing a signing or something. But, that, I mean, I really like when you say that this could be used in educational context, because obviously I want this to be about pleasure and the poetics, but also a learning, an enriching experience, an enchanting experience, if possible. You know, a re-enchantment of the movie-going process of the era of the multiplex, where it feels a bit cold. Hopefully there's some warmth in here, you know.
So, yeah, I was going to ask the same question, so I'll just add another layer to it. Do you have a chip in your head or something? Like, how did you get access to all the films? How did you watch them all? And this is so, did you, I'm an army researcher?
How did I get access to the films? How did I watch them all? Is there an army of researchers? There are no researchers. There's archive stuff where I say Japan in the 30s, we had a very good guy who went and got that kind of stuff. But it was mostly my producer, John, who's sitting modestly in the top right there. And I'd like to thank you very much. Myself and John in particular was brilliant at getting film clips, the films that we needed to use in the clip here. I sort of knew what films we needed to use. I'm quite an obsessive person, and since boyhood I've watched a lot of cinema, you know, so I sort of felt as if I had a head full of stuff that I needed to get out, so didn't have to do much more research, but needed John very much to provide stuff.
You mentioned the small size of the budget, and I wonder how much of it you had to spend to license all of those clips.
We didn't license the clips. Just as if you're writing literary criticism, you're allowed to extract a small amount of a poem, for example, or a book. So in many countries around the world, there's a law that allows you to extract a small amount of a film, as long as you don't distort it. As you know, we didn't muck around with the films. And so we used that particular provision for educational purposes. And I think that's really important. I think one of the reasons why this hasn't been done before is that perhaps the people haven't used that properly and fairly and honestly.
I do agree with everything. And I
So much. There's a question there, and then back to that.
So you said it was based on your book. I'm just wondering, did it grow from that? Like, are you adding things in as you go? And
yes. That's a good question. My book, to my shame, I hardly mentioned Jacques Tati, whereas tomorrow we get quite a lot of Jacques Tati. The book was published in 2003 or something like that, and since then Romanian cinema has been brilliant, and so 3D has come along, etc. So there's a lot more to add. But also in a slightly more subtle way, when you're writing a book, your key job as a writer is to create mental pictures for people. I want them to see Ingrid Bergman's face through my writing. Here, I don't have to, because I can show Ingrid Bergman's face, so I have to do the opposite, which is rather than conjure a mental image, I have to try and give the audience a sense of what the creative process was behind that image, and that's what I'm trying to do here. So one was working from outside in, and the other's working from inside out, or at least in different directions. That's what it felt like.
Well, you said even there that the film's grown so much, even like since you started making this.
Yes.
So next year we're going to get episode 16.
There's a lot left out. I mean, again, there's loads. There's no Eric Rohmer in this film. There's no Samuel Fuller in this film. There's no Neil Jordan in this film. All of which I regret deeply. You know, some of which we had to cut out. It's going to be 12 hours, and in 12 hours we were going to have to cut out Woody Allen and Robert Altman, which you sort of can't. You know, but still, and Sam Fuller is a big loss, and lots of others.
Did you talk to Kevin Brownlow during the process of this production?
I didn't. I mean, everybody's standing on the shoulders of Kevin Brownlow. Kevin Brownlow, you may know, is a great film historian. He did all this. And one or two of the interviews you see here, like Agnes de Mille, was done by Brownlow and his team.
Yeah.
So we're all indebted to Brownlow for his insights. Even this idea of Chaplin being the player, the strummer, is partly Brownlow's. So I'm greatly indebted to him. I didn't pester him. John went to him a few times for some things, but I didn't pester him because he's done his work and he's made his mark, and so I should just learn from him rather than ask him for help.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I love your talking. I just wonder, because I come to the do you talk as much in the other thing?
No, I'll tell you what happens is that in future episodes, in future chunks of this film, and more people are living, and there's hardly anybody living from this time, that's why there are very few people except for me in this picture. As you get on a bit, you know, come the 60s, Lois and Claudia Cardinale's in there. We've got Stanley Donen talking about the making of Singing in the Rain. We've got Bernardo Bertolucci talking about Italian cinema. We've got those people coming up, and so I can back off and they can do it, you know. But there is the issue of summary. Sometimes, you know, it takes somebody 20 minutes to say something and I can summarize it. So occasionally for purposes of economy, I sometimes have to say it back there.
I admire your revisionist approach, and it reminds me very much of what's being done with art history.
Oh, yes.
Making us very much aware of the attribution of certain aspects of cinema, for instance, the Citizen Kane and then
yes.
The reference to Japan.
Yes.
So that's very important. Also, contextually, I've been coming his interest, your interest.
I'm getting the wrap up set. Do we have time for one more quick question, or is that it? That's it.
Very, very
quick. Very quick question, sir.
You showed people a Stanley Kwan movie called Center Stage.
Yes.
We saw the festival a Stanley Kwan movie called Actress.
Yes.
Is it the same
film?
Yes.
It's got several names, same film.